Hello everyone, welcome to this Bulls and Bears, Bulls, Bears and Whiskey session brought to you by the HISA team. There's been a lot of discussion going about Bitcoin because of the trend that BTC has taken over the past few weeks. There's also been a lot of activity as well on the crypto space, a lot of concerns that investors in the crypto space have been having, mostly regarding the security of the crypto assets. I know that has been a major concern and everybody's definitely wondering what direction that is taking. And that's why we decided that we have this talk just to know from investors who've invested in the crypto market space and also guys who've invested heavily into the crypto, the cryptocurrency community, guys who understand the blockchain network and how the systems work, so that they can be able to just come in and explain to us, and also from a local concept context, how is it possible for investors to invest in the cryptocurrency space? Welcome, my name is Felix Ocheng, and I'll be your host for today. Joining me, probably at first one to let Chris introduce himself. Chris is a community manager at crypto.com. Chris, you can unmute and just give a brief introduction.
Hey everyone, thank you for having me. My name is Chris. This is the first time here. I just saw the link on Kenyan Wall Street, which I follow a lot, so I decided to join. So thank you for having me. My day job is community manager at crypto.com. So yeah, if you have any questions related to that, I would be happy to answer. And yeah, I've been in the crypto space for a while now, since 2017. So I've seen quite a bit. Thank you.
All right, awesome. And then the next in line we have, I'd let Chuck introduce himself. Chuck, I know you've been with us for quite some time. You don't introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, Felix. Hi, everyone. My name is Chuck. As you can see, I am mostly a listener, but I'll try to contribute as much from my knowledge and maybe ask a lot of questions where we don't understand. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. And then I'll also let Libra Group introduce himself as we proceed. All right. I'm seeing he's just dropped out. Anthony Wanjohi, you don't want to say a word or two as we begin? All right. Okay. Maybe we'll just probably pick it up and just start from what's really been happening. And then maybe as we proceed also, Kaptich, who's a crypto analyst as well and is always here with us every Wednesday, will join in. I'm seeing he's yet to join. So once he joins in, from there we can be able to definitely just pick up and also just proceed on a few things happening here and there on the crypto market space. So what's really moved markets over the past few weeks has been the decline for crypto, where crypto traded as low as 20,000 USD in terms of price activity. Though within the same time frame, that's over the past 24 hours, we've seen crypto gain as well, hitting a high of about $34,000. That's about currently trading at about 3.6 million Kenya shillings for the local market. So there's been a little bit of whipsaw here and then. I know one of the main things that guys are usually concerned about when it gets to investing in markets in various assets, it's always about the volatility. The main reason why you'd find that someone is not comfortable probably investing in land is because they think that the price might be able to fluctuate over time. That's just an example, not really why people don't want to invest in land. At the same time, people would tell you, I don't like investing in shares because of the volatility. I don't like investing in the crypto market space because of X and Y. And I know that's been a major concern. There are a lot of news that have also come in as well, because we've seen other global players, companies like MicroStrategy buying into Bitcoin. And that this has greatly reduced their average. And I know they're now holding Bitcoin at an average of fairly about $26,000. So that means even if Bitcoin would trade at the current price levels of about $34,000 per Bitcoin, they would still be slightly in the money. Maybe my concern would be just how long. And I'll just start with Chris. Probably just let me know what are the trends for investors in the cryptocurrency space? Is it only Bitcoin, or guys are investing in other assets as well? And probably if you want to just mention what other assets are these that investors are probably looking into? Thank you.
Thank you, Felix. I wouldn't say that I'm an expert in terms of everything crypto. I'm also trying to learn as much as I can. But as from a personal perspective, from what I've seen, the trends towards this bull run since 2017, which was the last time we had the all-time high for Bitcoin, I think this time, from what I'm seeing, is that more people are interested in more than Bitcoin, and people are getting more and more into altcoins. From talking to my friends and even local communities, there's this perception that the Bitcoin is already too expensive. So if you can get another cheaper option, you buy in, there's a bigger opportunity. That could be true or not, but that's what people are thinking. And we've seen also, like, for example, Elon Musk, when he started tweeting about Dogecoin. So a lot of people came in with the concept that, okay, so it's not only Bitcoin, people can buy any type of these altcoins. The problem is that there is not so much background research to know if they are viable. Because of the wave of people mentioning other alternative cryptocurrencies apart from Bitcoin, is driving more and more people to try and get into altcoins. And also the DeFi landscape, people trying to stake other cryptocurrencies, mainly driven by Ethereum and Solana. I've seen a lot of interest in staking and options and cheaper coins. So I think from my own perspective, that could be one of the major reasons trying to capture the wave. Instead of taking Bitcoin, which people perceive to be expensive, so people are trying to experiment with others, the altcoins.
All right. Very interesting, Chuck, and thanks a lot for mentioning that it's not only Bitcoin that guys are really looking into. You've talked about altcoins that guys are looking into. Would you just want to probably give guys a brief of what altcoins are? And also, maybe if you won't mind, just give guys, like, tell guys, if somebody wanted to invest in an altcoin, what would be the procedure? How would somebody really get into that space?
Okay. The major altcoins. Okay, first of all, I think altcoins is a short form for alternative cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin being the main and the oldest. So since Ethereum was introduced in 2015, I think, it gave option for people to build on top of Ethereum. Like, anybody can be able to launch their own cryptocurrencies if they have the technical know-how and a problem they are saying they are solving. So that now gave a lot of options for people to not only invest in Bitcoin, but other cryptocurrencies that are trying to solve some sort of a problem around the blockchain space. So, and after 2017, after the bull run of 2017, and everything now was like down, since then, the market has been building. The altcoins that were launched since Ethereum came around, starting to build teams around them, they started to polish up on the ideas. And the last 1 or 2 years, you have seen a lot of them now come to market and they are attracting investors. So that has lent to a wave of more people being interested in buying them. The major leeway or entry into altcoins is mainly through Bitcoin mostly. If you're able to buy a Bitcoin in any of the local exchanges we have, like, I don't know, Paxful, Binance, Crypto.com, if you're able to buy a Bitcoin, then you can easily swap to any of these major altcoins. If not, you can buy a stablecoin like USDT or USDC and then swapping, which is like exchanging or buying or selling the Bitcoin or stablecoin you have and then buying the altcoin. So it's not a must you buy it directly, but you can swap mainly with Bitcoin and stablecoins. Stablecoins, which are they are mainly used to avoid volatility, because cryptocurrencies are very volatile. So any person who's getting started mostly can buy any stablecoin and then exchange to an altcoin of their choice. Now, in most of these major exchanges, it's easy to swap because there are many of them are listed. Yeah.
Interesting. And I'm just seeing that SafeMoon has actually gone to zero flat earlier today. To trading at about 0.00003. I'm seeing now it's at flat. So that means if somebody, because also the supply limit was quite huge. Looks like this would be the end. Chuck, probably just to bring you into the discussion. I know you follow crypto, but I know probably you've really followed into SafeMoon. But do you think this is the end for the, I don't know if I would call it an altcoin, really, because it was trading at 0.0003. Now it's at 0.00 all the way flat. So looks like SafeMoon is not going to the moon at all.
Yeah, actually. And to use a word you taught me it last week, but one, is that Kilimanjaro or Longonot? Anyway, it's interesting. I think I'd compare it to what somebody said in the group that it's almost similar to Uchumi. At this point, I don't think there's my two cents shows me that this could be the end of SafeMoon. I don't see any hope of recovery from it. So anyway, I don't think it's going anywhere really. Felix. Hello. Yeah. Felix.
Hello. Yeah. I think that's very interesting, and thanks a lot for sharing. Weirdly enough, as it hit zero, somebody picked up quite a chunk, and I'm seeing within the past few minutes it's just up about 13%. So it's back again to the micro zeros, having the five zeros, and now it's trading at 34.37. So I don't know. Looks like the limit slightly high. The amount in circulation is also quite huge to some extent. And I'm seeing a few guys bringing into the market. I'm seeing Simrooks. I don't know if it's Simrooks saying SafeMoon has always been the micro zeros. But I'm also seeing Carlos. He's saying that SafeMoon will be huge in the next few years. Something that I know is interesting as well, just to see, you know, the challenge with most of our cryptos is that most people always think, and most of us usually have a lot of hopes in the future, what's likely to happen within the next few years. Probably that's why somebody might want to buy a coin at a certain level, you know, the guys who bought Bitcoin for as low as a dollar, and right now it's trading at $30,000, you see. So guys are very hopeful. I've just let Carlos in. I've just allowed him to speak. Carlos, you've mentioned that SafeMoon is likely to be huge in a few years. You don't want to comment on to that? Probably your thoughts on to that?
Yeah, so mine is basically short. From what I've been seeing around SafeMoon itself, it has been on the micros, but with the stories around it, basically, I can see it basically growing in the next 2 years, 3 years. So the same situation as whatever happened to the normal coins that you already know. SafeMoon has a lot of views around sustainability and everything. So it's something that we can see that can be taken up in the near future. So it will grow. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot for sharing that. I think it's always interesting just whenever we find guys who have divergent opinions, mostly regarding various investment opportunities out here. We have guys who are always open to just giving guys interesting views about various coins, various securities, that's even in shares, and even in the fixed income space. So it's one way or another pretty interesting as well. And I'm really hoping that guys who invested in SafeMoon, because it's weird, but looking at it over the past few years, you know, SafeMoon was at the same levels where it's at earlier this year. That was at around March 12th. I'm seeing it was at zero flat, like no value at all. And then it went all the way up to mid-April, about April 20. That was a month later. It was way up and was at about still the micro zeros as well, but at 95, 98. So right now it started up trading as well back to the micro zeros at 34.22. So really, I think it's always interesting just to see whenever there's a new product. But also one thing that I know guys might want to really pick into is to just look onto securities before you can be able to just sort of invest in it. You know, you're seeing one of the concerns that I know a lot of people really have about crypto, and maybe I'll just bring Chris back in, is probably, Chris, you now as a community manager, a lot of people have the concern of really just understanding the entire tech space. What people are saying is currently on everybody trying to really democratize finance. That's what everybody's saying. We want to liberalize finance. But at the same time, you see, with all coins coming in one way or another, maybe what would be your thought? And I'd also let Chuck come in, and probably also Carlos, if you're still within, you can also jump in and just share your thoughts. With all these currencies coming in, don't you think that if we wanted to liberalize finance by snatching the power away from central bankers, don't you think it would be way, way more easier to have one coin rather than have probably a million coins? Because right now you're seeing there are a lot of other altcoins coming in every day. We have Scamcoin, which somebody said it's called Simple Cool Automated Money. So he just set it up. He didn't actually know it would create value. But we saw guys take it up, going up by about 70 billion in market capitalization. And that's 70 billion USD. So I'm just concerned. And I know this is one thing that somebody had asked me earlier on. If you can share your thoughts, what do you think is the best way that guys can be able to control this space? Because the main reason why central bankers are skeptical about crypto, it's not only because it will liberalize finance, which is the goal, but also the challenge would really be on getting a control of a certain level. If you allow everybody to issue a coin, you know, you never really know the value that guys are having. So that concern, you know, that's what people have. And also finally, maybe let's just start on with the first one. Just your thoughts on that. I don't know who wants to go first. Chris, you'd want to go first since I know you. You have a lot of experience in that space where guys are looking onto the liberalization and also just getting into one single opinion onto that bit.
Chris, I just wanted to also add a question. I'm an advocate for those people who, for those of us who don't really understand a lot. I see a lot of discussions. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, maybe before we skip into that, I always wondered what's the difference between, is there a difference between a cryptocurrency and a crypto asset, do we call it? How do you differentiate between a crypto asset and a crypto, cryptocurrency? What is a crypto asset? I mean, this would be really good fundamentals to help us follow along the conversations as we go, because sometimes we try to catch up to a lot of I don't want to call it jargon, but insider words. So maybe as we go, even as Chris clarifies the question that you just asked, maybe if you could just touch a bit into difference between a crypto asset and a cryptocurrency, and what are the characteristics of a crypto asset, and how can you distinguish the difference? Sorry for taking us back. I mean, but if that would be considered as he proceeds with the answer, thank you.
Wow, Chuck, yeah, that's okay. I think, as you've rightly pointed out, Felix, it's an evolving space, and it's very difficult. Even me, I wouldn't say I know what is exactly how the future will unfold, or how or which crypto assets are worth investing, and which cryptocurrencies you are supposed to invest in and which one you are not. It's honestly, anybody who tells you like they have an answer towards that is most likely not very genuine, because it's everything changes very fast, and whatever is happening or whatever is promising like this year can change the next few months. So again, if I was to like try and define a crypto asset and cryptocurrency, that's also not easy, because countries around the world also are trying to find a way to regulate them. In some regions they are called crypto assets, in some regions they are cryptocurrencies, they're crypto assets, and it's a whole jargon around it. So it depends on how the jurisdiction wants to regulate it, because most people are referred to as cryptocurrencies, but if you try to analyze what makes up a currency, they don't meet the full definition of a currency, especially because of the volatility and the changes. So I think it depends on how the local regulators see it. But as an investor, as a person who's trying to understand it, most of us see that as an asset, like a crypto asset, especially these older cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum. Most of us see them, even me, I see most of them as crypto assets, because at the deep down, what we want is we buy low and then we sell. When as more people adopt it, then the network effects dictate that the value of that coin will go up. So based on that background, most of people are getting in as trying to view them as assets, crypto assets. But then you can also use them as a currency, because you can exchange for fiat and such. So it's still an evolving space, and maybe Carlos can also jump in.
Yeah. So for me, per se, I'm not a pro in crypto, but I have been interested in it for a while. Since last year, I've been investing around it and taking a look, like a good example of now SafeMoon itself. You can see the new coins that are coming in are basically trying to tackle the issues that the older coins are basically not able to sustain in market. So you find that situation whereby, like, the SafeMoon itself, it came in a space whereby the circulation of the coin itself was needed, instead of now the token-driven kind of buying one stationary or kind of crypto. It is sorting out a situation whereby you can buy and sell in an easy way and transact even in a normal financial stable way. So when you look at the new coins compared to the older ones are basically already set up in a system that cannot be changed, but the new ones are coming in to sort out the issues that have been lacking with the old ones. So for me, in general, crypto, you just need to understand the different aspect on it. And to be honest, you'll see the dips coming in every time. You just don't need to be looking at your wallet every time, but just need to believe and understand the crypto itself first before you do anything. So I think you have said most of the aspect around knowledge around crypto, but yeah, I think in general, people say they don't want to invest in something they don't understand, but you need to understand it so that you can invest, instead of just saying that you won't invest in it. So yeah, so you need to understand it better in order to invest in it. Thanks.
And maybe to add what you said, maybe, yeah, it's true. You need to, like, at least understand what the fundamentals of how it works. And Felix, you asked about, like, wow, someone who's getting started, like, what's the best way and which coin to invest in? That's also difficult. But I think from my own understanding, if you understand what Bitcoin is and what it's trying to solve, I think it's very fundamental to try and understand it as from a digital gold perspective and the problem they are trying to solve, like bypass central banks. When you understand that, then I think now you can try and see which of these other alternative cryptocurrencies are promising now based on that background, because I think Bitcoin is the foundation. If you fail to understand the foundation that is trying to be laid down with Bitcoin or Ethereum, I think the other crypto assets you'll be investing in will be just trial and error, because you barely not understand anything if you can't, like, try and understand the groundwork of what's trying to be solved. Yeah.
All right. Very interesting. And thanks a lot, gentlemen, for sharing your thoughts regarding that. Now, getting away from understanding cryptos and now into what's really been trending on crypto. First of all, let's start with China. China has been on the offensive against crypto miners. Earlier on, I believe a lot of you had shared concerns about China banning cryptocurrencies. And I know there are a lot of other guys who also believe China is probably trying to control that space because they want to launch their own digital coin. What's your take and what effect is this having on the crypto, on the cryptocurrency space? And I'm also seeing that there's a lot of activity that's also going on as well on the forum. I'm seeing Simrux has said that cryptocurrency, I believe this is in reference to what Chuck had asked, cryptocurrency is the general name for all assets and coins and tokens largely are used interchangeably. However, based on asset definition as what puts money in your pocket, the view is crypto are assets. So that's one way that guys can look at it from. I believe that's interesting. So China for the past 1 month has been on a very strong offensive against crypto investors. How long is this likely to last? And also, considering that we're seeing, and like now China, we're seeing the positive edge of this happening on one end, where we're seeing countries like El Salvador actually adopt Bitcoin as a legal tender. El Salvador is quite a small nation to really create a huge impact, but you know, guys got to start somewhere. So one way or another, we know that this is something that is likely to be able to continue. Just wondering how many countries would be able to adopt this, but also at the same time, remember that the IMF actually said, World Bank said that they're not able to support El Salvador to implement Bitcoin as a legal tender in the country. For now, we are still waiting for about 30 more days to see now when the country officially now starts picking up Bitcoin as a legal tender, because this was something that was to be implemented within 60 days from the date of signing, when the bill that was brought into the country's parliament was approved into law and was signed by the president. So just wondering how long this would be, and probably what country is really going to happen. Also, on the neighboring front, we've seen a few countries like Tanzania, for example, say that they would want to join the trend and just see what's happening on the crypto market space, so that when something happens or when there are changes within the cryptocurrency space, they don't want to be left behind. We're also seeing a lot of activity, not just a few, but a lot of activity in South Africa. South Africa has been been on the supportive side of just enabling a lot in terms of activity as well in the cryptocurrency space. But also at the same time, we're seeing a new scam or a new scandal going to pull up in South Africa. This morning, early today, there was a report on Bloomberg that there's an article that we had shared earlier on that indicated that the South African brothers who just vanished with about $3.6 billion worth of Bitcoin. So, gentlemen, once again, if you'd share your thoughts on China, South Africa, El Salvador, what direction really? Because we're seeing two of them being on the positive edge, but also at the same time, two of them being really risky things for investors. Chris, you'd want to go first? Okay, Chuck, you can proceed.
No, if Chris can go, I'd appreciate that. I was with a kid here, pressed it by accident.
All right, Chris, you're the
sorry for that. I was away for a second there, but okay. About mining. I think we are seeing a lot of shift now. China historically has been the bedrock for mining activities because of cheap electricity. But now it looks like either the government of China is fighting it, or it's a proxy war. It's unclear. It's still not very clear why. If they are doing it directly, they're trying to fight it, or maybe it's a front for something else. But it's geopolitical, and I think we are also seeing miners in the Western countries, mostly North America, Europe. They're trying to have this narrative of Bitcoin should not be controlled so much in one country. So they're trying to either investors, if it's investors, they're trying to see ways they can also get into mining, because controlling mining is controlling the whole network. So I think we might be seeing a lot of shifts and changes in mining. I'm not very convinced that China is completely banning it. I think it's more geopolitical changes and shifts, but I think the West especially North America, because we had, I think last week, there's this company called Bitfarms, which is the first mining company that I think it's now public. It's listed on NASDAQ. And I think that's a way of investors who don't want to buy Bitcoin to Bitcoin directly. They can invest in like mining firms. And I think it will be a net positive for the industry in the long run. If more countries participate in it, I'm not sure Africa will be able to do it because they have not even defined what crypto or Bitcoin is. So it will be still a battle between China and the West, and controlling the mining will be a powerful statement of trying to gain more leverage over the Bitcoin network. I think what you might see maybe in Africa is what is more of clearer policies on regulation. Even if El Salvador has made Bitcoin legal tender, it would be more impactful if at least more countries try and give clarity on it. But I don't think many countries will be bold enough to go the El Salvador way. Maybe they will try and have some policies that allow companies to operate, or maybe some regulation around it, but not fully adopt it as a legal tender. If the El Salvador experiment works, then many countries, might developing countries, might try that route. Because I was listening to the El Salvador, is it president or prime minister? I think the rationale for them is not even trying so much about having Bitcoin as a legal tender, but attracting more innovation and talent. So based on how you look at it, if you allow Bitcoin to be traded locally, the national government can also play a part. Maybe they can attract more investors or even find ways of taxing it. So it will be a net positive for developing countries that try and find a way around it rather than banning it. My two cents. Yeah.
All right. Very interesting. So with a mining company, it's more like buying shares for Coinbase, right? So instead of you buying the crypto, you invest in the company that is conducting the business.
Exactly, yeah. Which I think some investors find it less risky. So, yeah.
Well, I think I believe that's a good opportunity because, you know, it's more like for guys who'd wanted more safer securities, you know, things like the Bitcoin ETF. I know we have that, but then also just to look on to the general crypto space. If guys want to run away from the volatility, then they can always be able to invest in these companies that are looking on to the mining bit. I think that would be something that would be interesting. I'm seeing that Sam Zera, you wanted to comment on to this?
Okay, thank you for the opportunity to speak. So I wanted to share a bit on the China issue. And just to remind you how China has generally even treated everything in terms of control. When you first off look at the internet and how it was supposed to be this free space for companies and businesses to operate in, you kind of get to see the trend in which China treats some of these things. So for like the internet, they've literally taken control and you can't have services like Play Store and Google and all those services in China. So it's going to be the same trend when it comes to cryptocurrency, in that they're going to want to control this. So heading into the future, I think it's still going to be the same situation where the rest of the world is using a different system and then China is just on its own using something else.
So Sam, maybe a question. Do you think that the way China is trying to introduce their own central bank digital currency is their way of doing what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes to China, first off, when you understand how it works, it's similar to just rolling out the normal currency, but now it's in a crypto version, in that everyone has an account with the central bank, and then the commercial banks are the ones that are custodians of those accounts. And in some way, people are still trying to figure out if it's going to work, and then they roll out the adoption to the mass, to the masses. So for China, I think it's going to continue having that separate system working for them that's different from the rest of the world. And I think that's why they were so fast to adapt it and to ban Bitcoin and miners and all that. So yeah. And then lastly, on the issue to do with investments in ETFs, for big money, because this was something I was listening in some Bitcoin podcast some time back, for old money and old investors and just traditional investors in general to invest in that space, you find a situation where they're asking for products that are within certain regulations. So that's where you find people in the industry advising these investors to invest in things that are under some sort of regulation. So that's when you see there's this popularity of ETFs coming up and investments within the space of crypto, but under some form of regulation. I think that's all.
Yeah, I also I agree with you to some extent that China is going to, actually what you've said is very enlightening. I was also going to point out that China's regulation will in the future affect the prices of Bitcoin, even if not to a greater margin, but it will affect it negatively, given that given the population of China and the influence, also seeing that El Salvador's efforts to use Bitcoin are being kind of slowed down by the World Bank refusing to help them, rather to facilitate their efforts to make Bitcoin a legal tender, acceptable legal tender. So yeah, my two cents was just that China's crackdown on Bitcoin might affect its price, its pricing in the future. And also just to point out that what we would have used as a model, or seen as a model, El Salvador, or the country that we'd have seen as a model, is being their efforts are being slowed down. Yeah. So mine was just to chime in and agree with Sam, and also just add to that. Thank you.
All right. Very interesting. The one thing that I know we've not really mentioned now, and just maybe as we start to wrap up, would be on your thoughts on the general security of, because we know that the blockchain space it's open. You have the open ledger where everybody can be able to confirm that transaction X went to from account A to account B, you know, which I believe is very important. But we're seeing one angle that is becoming a very, very new challenge with guys getting lost, because it's, I think with today's news that there are two South African brothers that have actually literally went into the thin air with $4 billion worth of $4 billion, about $3.6 billion dollars worth of cryptocurrencies that they actually had from guys. And we've also seen the celebrity scams where guys hack into accounts, various accounts of a few guys. An example is we've seen that happen to even accounts like Elon, where guys had that, and a lot of people lost a lot of cryptos as well. And I believe that despite the culprits being apprehended, there's yet to be a reversal of this transactions back to the accounts which the guys actually initially sort of scammed them. I know that also for fiat currencies, there's a way that people can be able to physically scam you. Just wondering what level of risk in terms of investor security, because, you know, if you invest personally, for me, if I were to invest, I would want to invest in something that's long term. I would definitely want to, I would want to put my money and knowing that in the next 1 year, if I come back, I won't be able to find my money or the same security that I bought still there. One of the reasons why that you'd find my grandpa would always say, I have this title deed. I've had it since I was 30. Now I'm 80. I still have it. So generally, what are your thoughts then? Probably what are the best ways that even the regulators can be able to go into this? Because, you know, if they're to accept it, if they're to accept crypto, then we have to cover on some of these loopholes that we are constantly having. What would be your thoughts? What is it that we need to do to ensure, and not only just us, but probably what steps are regulators and also the general blockchain community supposed to be able to just handle so as to ensure that there is security and also sort of a long longevity for the crypto investors. Maybe you just share your thoughts on that, and then probably we can touch on a few more things and then we call it a day.
I can jump in quickly about that. My short opinion on that is, instead of government trying to ban anything related to crypto, they can regulate the companies that operate in the space so that the investors have some sort of reprieve because of the KYC. If a company is, you can buy crypto via fiat, it's there's some form of know your customer regulations. So if the regulator can be able to work with these companies and to establish some form of framework, that would provide some reprieve to investors, I think, and it would give some more transparency into what the companies are doing.
All right, very interesting. Carlos, you'd want to jump into that? Okay, probably maybe Sam, if you'd want to comment into that bit about, and I'm seeing that Simon has also just said that thugs are in all markets. That's actually why I say even in fiat, I know guys can actually scam you, but the internet is being sort of weird where everything is sort of happening. And I'm just trying to wonder how guys can be able to just help around and see how things can
go. Pardon, what was the question? I was a bit held up.
Okay, so we were just wondering, there's been a lot of issues regarding scams in the crypto space. And I'm just wondering, how can we be able to handle if regulators are supposed to really accept crypto, then we need to handle the bit where investor confidence can be gained so that guys can be able to comfortably, even if you're buying a crypto asset, you know that 1 year down the line, you won't come and find that your account was hacked and somebody went away with all your crypto assets or a transaction had already been done. What measures do you think that the entire crypto space, the blockchain community, and be able to just handle it to ensure that these activities can at least reduce, you know, just things to happen and then just have it one way or another?
Okay. So in terms of a centralized regulation, in terms of a government, I am not so sure how it's going to play out. But what we're seeing in the decentralized finance space is we have these private companies coming up that are doing the background checks for investors. So you have one called Satic. I think some of you have heard of it. So they usually go and check these projects and try and verify them, and they go through the code and all that. And there are more of these companies coming up. So I think that's one way in which investors can start gaining confidence, although it's still sort of a new space. So I don't know how it's going to play out yet.
All right, so I guess we need to hope that better days, we definitely hope for that better days would be lying ahead for the entire crypto space. Maybe as we wrap up, we can just have a few minutes for for all of you to just say probably one word, one or two statements on your thoughts on the entire, on the future of the cryptocurrency space. Also, if you wanted to share thoughts on how somebody can be able somebody can be able to get more information regarding the crypto space. And once again, guys, remember that the comments that are brought to you by our speakers today doesn't necessarily imply that as an investment advice. We strongly encourage you to please do your research before you buy into any security, whether it's a stock, whether it's a bond, whether it's a crypto asset, even whether it's land, man. Do your own research just before you buy that security. So we just have a brief roundtable as we conclude. Probably we'll start with Chris, because Chris has been the man of the match today, and then Chuck can come in, and then probably Sam can close the session. Carlos has already left. He said he's attending to something else, but I believe that would be a good end for us today. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And for me, I think it would be very simple. As anybody who's interested in crypto, I think the first, the basics is to try and understand what it is, and then look for trusted people in the space. Now, because you don't have meetups, physical meetups, but you can still like look at these online platforms that are legitimate, and then try and learn as much as possible. I am assuming that if I want to buy a car, the first thing I will do is try and research as much as possible. What do I need to do when buying a car? For example, I need to know the engine capacity. How do I know that? Who are the trusted people, and where can I get that information? And then in the same case with Bitcoin, you have to do some bit of background work, and the worst thing you can do is have the wrong wallet, because if you start on with the wrong platform, it's very hard to recover. So as long as you're really interested in it and you do your own research, should be able to get started fairly easily, because now resources are online and it's very easily accessible. And I don't know if I've said everything, but thank you so much, Felix, for having me in to supply.
Sounds good.
One thing I usually like to, I'll speak on what I think the future of crypto is. And one thing I usually like to compare it with is the internet companies and the internet. And we have this situation where in the 90s, there were all these new internet companies coming up, and any company that had .com on their website, usually investors were rushing to buy it. And then eventually we had that .com bubble, and then from that, things started picking up again. So I think for the future of crypto, the space will start seeing projects that are actually functional and they're actually producing some benefits for society. So a good set of tokens to look at is where is the value coming from and which ones are providing value. So when you look at something like Ethereum and the Ethereum network, and you start seeing products like insurance and derivatives and all that, then you start seeing that there's actually going to be more benefits and more functionality brought with blockchain and decentralization. So I think that's one good way to try and also pick, if you're an investor, which token to invest in and which one to look at for the future. Yeah, that's all.
All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot, guys, for coming in on to today's session. For all of you who've been listening, thanks a lot, Simon. You've been on the keyboard just sharing information. I know you've not been able to join in through audio, but I know you've been listening as well, and also just giving guys a lot of information on the chat. Thanks a lot, Simon, for that. For everybody else who came in, Carlos, Chuck, Chris, and Sam, I know some of you were not really ready to, were not informed earlier on. Some of you are just you were commenting on something and you just came in and just gave us your opinion. Very informative. Thank you a lot and really appreciate it. For those of you who've just joined in, don't worry. This podcast will be uploaded. The recording will be uploaded to the podcast section for the HISA app. So if you're yet to download the HISA app, you definitely want to just head out to Play Store, App Store, download the HISA app, and then from there we can be able to, you'll get the recording. It will also be shared on the Telegram forum, so you don't need to worry about that. See you guys again on Wednesday next week for Bulls, Bears and Whiskey. But don't forget that on Friday we have a Curious Podcast, and then on Monday, as usual, we have Market Monday. Thank you all and have a lovely evening.